is on this card, I want you to write down the most important thing you can possibly think of that has to do with friendships. Okay? The most important thing about friendships. Oh, you have one. Oh, you need one. There you go. Hi, how are you? You need one. Here you go. Here you go. The most important thing. Because, see, I didn't have enough time to study or preach, you know, for preaching today, so I'm just going to have each of you share, and then I can sit back and kind of enjoy myself. Do you believe me? Okay. Okay, good, good. This is great. See, the reason we're doing this is because I believe, and I know Brady does too, that God has put us together in a body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, everybody, absolutely everybody, has something very precious to share with everybody else. So when I ask a question like that, so deals with the superlative, the most important thing about friendships, you know, we're going to get gold from you today. And very quickly, I would love for us to just share at the beginning here. What is the most important thing? That's the wrong slide. What is the most important thing about friendships? Who's got something? What do you have? Yeah, go ahead. Okay, that's wonderful. Yeah, okay. You can't have friendships without friends. Okay, very good. Does anybody have anything that might be slightly more profound? Okay, I like the humor. I think that's really good. What do you have, honey? To tell the truth. Nobody wants a friend that's going to lie to them. Is that right? For sure. I like that. That's really good. That's very good. All right, now last week we looked at some of these images, okay? And this is a very beautiful garden, obviously. And the garden has some walls, and the garden has some gates, which are really exciting to think about. All right? The gates let people in, and they also keep people, some people, out. And that sounds really negative. So today we're going to look at three aspects, okay? We're going to look at the negative, which we'll call the poison of friendship. Then we'll look at the positive aspects of friends. And then we're going to look at the most important, purposeful aspect of being friends. So let me hear from you. What do you have? You got a great smile this morning. Friends stand by your side no matter what. That's excellent. Absolutely excellent. Yes, Ben. Sincerity. Okay, good. That's ringing. We had somebody else up here talk about being truthful, okay? Hang on to this card. You're going to need it. What kind of thing? Thinking. Okay, that's good. I like that. I like that. Frank, what did you have? Are you Frank? Tony, what did you have? That is so cool. That is so cool. Do the rest of you know what he's talking about? Yeah, who shared that last week? Lily, that's right. She said, friends are like a box of chocolate. You never really know for sure what's inside, but sometimes you absolutely love it, you know. I kind of cheat with the box of chocolate, and I look at that little label thing, you know. When I find one of those square ones that has, like, dark chocolate and pecans inside, I search the box for the other one that's just like that. Okay, very cool. How many of you are back from college? Okay, awesome. Let's hear from you guys, okay? What did you put down? Because you move away from home, you go to this new place, and you meet all these people. What have you discovered? Okay, so those people out there who are supposed to be your friends should be more accepting of you. Is that right? Yeah, I agree. And you want to be more accepting of? Exactly. That's really cool. That is really cool. Okay, who else? You're back from college. Yeah, what's your thing on friends? I think trust. Trust, okay, good. Wow, we're getting a lot of this trust, loyalty,
faithfulness. Yeah, because without that, friendships could be very dangerous. All right? They could really hurt.
Anybody else have some little yummy nugget of truth here we could all like chew on today, like from this lovely box of chocolates?
Okay, so who has something? Some other positive, like really cool thing. Wisdom about friendships. Go ahead, Ben. Honesty and respect. Very, very good.
Okay, cool. So let's take a look here today. We've got, just by way of review, you know, there's these other images of gardens, beautiful flowers growing, all kinds of awesome things, you know, and here we've got, of course, this gate kind of a thing going on, and then we'll get to some of these images a little bit later, okay? So yeah, that's all very good. Now, walls are for protection, and we know that God wants to protect us, okay? And the problem is this. Growing up, and your parents have probably said this to you, don't make wrong friends, okay? They will ruin your life, all right? And then maybe along the way you got together with somebody and you could tell there was this little edge, this little something that they had that could lead you in a wrong direction, okay? Make good friends. My father said this. My dad went up to the sixth grade in school and then he quit, all right? He was in school. So he quit. But he was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And his father gave him this advice. Make friends with people who are a little bit smarter than you and learn from them. That was pretty cool. So even though my dad only went up to the sixth grade, he had friends. He had a friend who was literally the president of the FHA, the Federal Housing Administration. You know, and I remember as a little kid going to their home. You know, this big mansion in Grosse Pointe. You know, so yeah, my dad had that sense that he was going to learn from his friends. All right? And then there was my mom. My mom was really different. I didn't think about this till just now. But she had all kinds of friends. She actually lived in Hollywood for a while and worked out as a seamstress on the dresses of famous Hollywood actresses. And when she died, I found a box in the attic with lace from some of these dresses. And she had like Greta Garbo's lace from the gown she wore in the movie, whatever, you know. So it was really kind of cool. One day we were driving down the street, and we lived in an all-white neighborhood. It was at that time. And on the side of the only black person on my street was the maid who worked at the house two doors down. And so back then we were, you know, prejudiced. We were just prejudiced. You know, we didn't like black people. I'm just saying, that's the way it was. I don't know how they felt about Chinese because we never saw any, okay? But they were like prejudiced. They had all these terrible names, you know, for black people. And one day we're driving down the street and there was this little black girl and she was crying. Well, not little, she was probably like 20. She was crying. She was crying, but I remember what she looked like. She was little. She was slight of person, okay? And she was crying, and my mom pulled over and picked her up. She goes, honey, you come here. Get in the car. She goes, what happened? What's wrong? And her boyfriend dumped her, you know, there in East Point, just kicked her out of the car. So my mom said, well, where do you need to go? I'll take you wherever. So I remember my mom just took care of this girl. And then she turned around. I was in the back seat. She goes, don't you dare tell your father what I did. Because you know? We picked up a black person. But they had all kinds of friends. I remember one of my mom's friends was absolutely grungy. Very cool thing. And we'll tie this in at the very end when we get to purposeful friendships. But before we go too much farther, you know, I want to remind us that these gates, okay, that the gates are to let people in as well. This is a beautiful estate, you know, and there are gates here to let people in. However, the negative cannot be ignored. I'm going to read you the scripture. Check this out. This is like scary stuff, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 3. if your very own brother, your very own brother, do you have a brother here? Where's your brother? Jonathan, he's trying to hide, okay? If your very own brother, anybody else have a brother here? Okay, good. Where's your brother? Which one? You, the guy, the good-looking guy with a tie. Okay, where's your brother? The same one? You guys share brothers. Okay, very good. Here we go. If your very own brother or your son... Oh, Brady. You don't have a wife. Okay, Brady has a wife here. Okay, let's make this very personal. If your very own brother or your daughter or your wife that you love or your closest friend secretly entices you, saying, let us go and worship other gods. Gods that neither you nor our ancestors have known. Now, what does that mean? Let us go worship other gods. In our culture, what would that mean? Yeah. No, I think that's very good. Okay, what else? I mean, it could be if you're really hooked. But what other gods? What are they talking about? This is Old Testament. This is written like thousands of years ago. How could that apply today? What are some other gods? Go ahead, Ben. Social media. Could be another god very easily. All right. What's another? What are some other? Yes.
Drugs.
Sure, let's just smoke a little marijuana. You know, it's not necessarily physically addicting. Psychologically, it could be. Ben. Booze. Okay, very good. Why don't we just, you know what? We could be sipping saints. Jesus drank wine. Come on. He even turned it into the best. Okay? So let's do this. Like with all these other things, okay? Could be pornography. Could be sex. Could be cars. Could be anything. So let's fill us in. Let us go and worship other gods, right? The gods of the people around us, whether near or far, from one end of the land or the other. He says, do not yield to them. Don't even listen to them. Show them no pity. What does that mean? Do not spare them or shield them. You must certainly put them to death. Hello? This is the God who calls himself love? Who says the greatest commandment of all is to love even your enemies? And I... Deuteronomy chapter 3, that was verse 8. You must certainly put them to death. Your hand... Now remember, we're talking about God. We're talking about this guy. We're talking about Brady's wife, Sarah. This is what the... from the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land. Reasoning. Then all Israel will hear and be afraid and no one among you. Now, I want to do this. I want to bring you to a New Testament form of death, okay? Because the day... Good morning. Good, good. The day that the woman who was caught in adultery was brought before the elders, what did they say they wanted to do to that woman? What? Kill her. Just like Deuteronomy said, with stones. Who's our hero in that story? Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And Jesus is known as the Rock. Oh, the lights went on. I heard you. And the light is shining. His face lit up and his braces all sparkled with the light. It's really cool, okay? Oh, yeah, because here's what happens. You put them to death. Not with rocks, but with the Rock of Jesus Christ who lives in you. That day, That woman got stoned by Jesus Christ. Not only did she get stoned, but everybody else in the crowd did too. They're prejudiced. Why didn't they stone? Maybe. Was put to death, just like Deuteronomy says. But it was death by love. Death by the rock, not the stone. And so I want us to learn from this. And there's a huge caution. You make wrong friends, you open the gates of your garden, your heart's garden, to wrong friends. They can, might. Into from time to time at weddings, we have a lot of mutual acquaintances and friends. It feels very uncomfortable in front of me because now I've accepted Christ, but I continue to show love because I want to be that rock that destroys, you know, what is in him. Check it out. This happens even in the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. At Corinth, there was this thing going on that was really bad. Some person was having a relationship, an intimate, inordinate, fornicating relationship with his mother. And the church wasn't doing anything about it. And Paul said, you have got to take a stand. Now, one of the bad things that's happened with all this negative aspect of friendship is that some people, and a lot of church people, but where I have come from, it is like, we are the good people because we go to church. And they are the bad people. So we have to protect ourselves from these negative influences. Therefore, keep your gates of your garden closed. Don't let them in. Okay? And so that's an extreme teaching that puts everybody in a protective bubble, but doesn't really genuinely help us grow. I know a man who had 4 boys. He raised them the best he could. Every single one of them turned out very, very well. The 4 nephews, whose parents were split up, and the dad was in jail for substance abuse, and the mom was being very... felt magnetized to worldly things of all sorts. And one by one, they made friends in magnetism. One was for drugs, and he actually ended up buying like over-the-counter something and doing a little something to it. And he was high most of the time. You know, finally, he's in jail today. And of course, he's repented while in jail. But each one of those boys seriously made the wrong friend. I'm not saying bad people should not be your friends. I'm not saying sinners should not be your friends. I'm saying let the Holy Ghost be at the gate so you are sure about who you're letting in and why. And we'll get to that in just a little bit. All right, now, so we've looked at the poisonous aspect. Let's look at the positive aspect. And what I want to do is share this really... This is just a great example. You're going to just love this. This is so much fun. How many of you have ever seen Incredibox? Nobody. Good. Okay. Here's one little guy. Look, he's blinking. He's so lonely. But he's gifted. Listen to him. There's a little something going on, doesn't he?
he has a friend.
Shows what happens when, you know, you get together with others. There's like such strength, you know, and a togetherness, and the whole sound of it is like just really, really cool. It's just a really fun thing. So what does research, and this is the deal. We have our middle school youth group times together, and we had all these computers out, and these kids started doing all this research, and they found some great things, so they really inspired me, you know, to dig into this. One of the things that friends do, friends are like an anti-aging remedy. They have found that people who have friends age slower than people who don't. It's amazing. People actually who have good friends, and here's the deal, friends for longevity of life are more influential than family. I'm going, what? Families, like, you know, family's tight. But friends are actually better for you than family. So I started thinking about it. I thought, why is that? I thought of all the baggage that you have with family. It's like, there they are again. You know, they still resent me because of what I did when I was 7. You know, or something like that. So it's like, wow, you know, we need new friends. New friends, they just give you, like when you first meet somebody, I don't know what it is. I got this thing, when I first meet somebody, I just love you. You are like an incredible treasure chest, and I don't know what's inside, but I know that God put some of Him in you, and I want to know what that is. It's so exciting. You know, like we've got some new people coming out of Oakland Christian School. Oh, I'm giving them DVDs, you know, of graduation because they won't be able to be there. You know, look at this is our culture. I call them up. They call me back. They have questions. We start to feel like really, like I'm their glue. You know, I get connected. I tell them everything. They want to know, you know, why there was, you know, the financial fallout. I tell them everything so that they know how they're going to fit in. And in exchange, I get to know them. And I see their God thing that they have to fit in. Friendship is positive, can be poisonous, but God has designed it in a very, very positive way. It's so interesting because the researchers are saying, look, we have studied concerning health, how family influences health. We've looked at how a job influences health, but there's not a lot of research on how friendships increase health. They know there's a correlation, but they haven't been able to figure it out. But you know what it is? It's that unknown Jesus factor that pulls people together. It's fantastic. Very, very exciting stuff. So, mental well-being, health, people get out of hospital sooner because they have friends. There's just all kinds of people, women with breast cancer, they spend 4 days less in hospitals when they're visited by friends. It's not the cards, it's not the candy, it's not all that stuff. There's something else, and it is that relationship, that magnetism that brings people together. In my classroom, I have no seating charts. Kids walk in the first day of school, and they automatically, kind of like, even if they don't know each other, they automatically just kind of pick up this vibe, and they kind of like, ooh, I'm sitting with her. Okay? And it's not always because she's so cute, all right, or good looking, you know? It's that way for summer. Like, kids look on my list of volunteers and they go, oh, Max Bone, he's going to be there. I'm there, honey. You want to come? I got all these, like, sweet girls signed up because Max is going to be there, you know. It's beyond that, all right? It's really beyond that. It's very interesting. What else is really weird? It's like, I've noticed this family has got, like, 5 kids. Every single one of those kids comes in my room for the first time and they sit without knowing where their brother or sister sat. They sit in the same seat. It is so weird. It's like, and I go up to her and say, hi, why'd you sit here? And you go, I don't know. It's like, do you know who used to sit here? No. Why? They get nervous. Your sister sat here 4 years ago. What's up with that? You know? So there's this something about the way we're made and like who we connect with that is really a God thing. Totally a God thing, all right? It's kind of fun. It's really kind of fun. I'm going to go back to this picture and these images. There's some neat images here because when I was, yesterday morning, I was just waiting on the Lord and going through this, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go in my backyard. If what I'm saying about a garden is true, it ought to be true in my own garden. So here is my rhododendron. Why? I never fertilize this thing. The plants, I'm not there to serve my plants. My plants are there to serve me. If you die, you die. I'll plant something else. If you live, you live. Make me happy, okay? It's just the way I do it, because otherwise I'm going to be like a slave to this flower. Does anybody know what kind of soil this flower likes? Yes. Very generic, but true. Do you think it likes alkaline or acidic soil? Wrong.
Acidic.
Very good. You guessed it. Okay, good. It likes acidic soil. What tree is growing near this? Yes. I don't, but I know my plants. I watch them. I learn their personalities. They are. Exactly. And I'll show you that in a minute. So what kind of soil did you say it likes? Yeah, no, you were wrong that time. Can you be right this time? I hate to send you home with a zero, okay? It likes acidic soil. What kind of a tree is growing near it? A pine tree. What kind of, what is in the pine needles as they fall? Very good. So these two, this tree and this plant, are buddies. They like the same stuff, okay? And so I thought, you know what? If this is true, it's not just true there. It's got to be true other places in my garden. All right? For example, the lily of the valley. This plant is really good friends with all the plants around because it loves moist soil and it loves the shade. So it just does well. I tell you what, it is so much fun. It is crazy cool. I have actually growing in my garden, check these out. I have growing these plants that I've never planted. They're beautiful blue spruce trees. Never planted them. But the acorns from a few trees somehow have gotten over into areas and they hide in this very acidy needle mulch soil and they're springing up everywhere. It is so cool. Alright? Now here we've got, that's my studio back there. And this is a shed that my son built his senior year of high school woodshop project. But these columbines, these guys have made friends with rocky soil. They love well-drained soil. So when they're done blooming, I'll take their little seed pods, because I know what they like, and I'll spread them around. Now, what about you? What's the application? See, The application is you are going to grow well with people who share the same interests, all right? The other day I was driving home and I saw all these antique cars in this parking lot. Oh my gosh, they were just beautiful cars, right? And all the people were sitting there next to the car, you know, or the pickup truck, you know, whatever it was. He pimped his ride, man. It was sweet. He's just standing there going, it's my ride. Yeah. You know, and everybody's like, you know, what it is, you know. They're married to these vehicles. And all the people are there like, yeah. And they're talking like fuel injection. They're talking gear ratios, you know, and all this kind of stuff. They share a common interest. And so we likewise with our friends. And God does that, especially when our common interest is Jesus. It's so cool. It is so cool. I have a friend. First time I met this person, I'll never forget. I was down on a floor like this, and I was working on a banner, and there was a flaw in this banner, and he had this banner made, and there was a problem, and I was supposed to fix it. And he walked up, and I was just about ready to fix it, you know, with some paint. And he said, No. And in that moment, the Lord, because I had a natural affinity to this person and we've really become good friends. But the Lord put a caution. He stood at the gate of my garden and the Lord said, be careful. Be alert. Because this friend also has another side of his personality that agrees with my fallen nature. It's just the reality. And when we would get together, and I failed at times with this friend, a fellow educator, I'd failed at times because we'd get together and our conversation would start to go and his humor would go to my, you know, natural humorous place. And it was not godly. It wasn't horrible, just wasn't godly. We weren't building each other up. We were actually putting each other down and putting other people down and having a good time with it. It's terrible. Just terrible. So till this day, and here's the deal. This friend knows Jesus. And this friend has truly had a wonderful influence on me. On the other hand, I have not had a wonderful influence on this person because they don't want any more of Jesus. What they have is great. They just don't want more. So it's in the end of today, you know, I want us to understand that these gates are to let people in, whoever God wants to let in. And they will bring with them some wonderful things, and they'll bring some things that are not so wonderful. And our job is to love them. Love them. And perhaps show them, because there's nothing I can say to this person that moves this person forward. I'm going to show you another picture. It's a little off my topic, but it's so true because did I tell you about my shoes last week? Okay, this is one of my shoes, okay? Here's both of them, all right? Now what happened was I found my shoes, this is so crazy, I found them like a week ago outside. They had been there for 2 years and they were under some juniper bushes in my garden. And they've been there so long, they started going moth, hairy moth. You could actually run your hands over it, you know? It's kind of like, you know, some Asians have their hair stick straight up. You know, it was just like that. You run your hand over it, just kind of feels cool. You know what I'm saying? It's really neat, okay? So I have these old shoes, and they remind me that I'm going to die and that my shoes were made out of a dead cow because they're made of leather. And as that leather is in the garden, it becomes petrified. It shrinks. It shrivels. It gets old and starts to decay. And it reminded me that that's what's happening to me. Sounds a little depressing. But then I remembered that as the old man perishes, the new man is renewed. So right away I dug up some wild violets and I planted them in my shoes. And now they speak to me, and I brought them to school and they spoke into some lives of some kids, and I trust they'll speak into your life. That some things grow old and have to be done away with. maybe even friendships. But then God plants something new and wonderful inside. And out of the old, he brings something new. It's resurrection. It's Romans chapter 6. It's just very, very cool. Very cool stuff. I want to talk about a symbiotic relationship. And unfortunately, I didn't have time to photograph a symbiotic relationship. Well, here's one. This is in the front garden, and this is poison ivy. And I tell you, if there was a competition, I think I could win. I've got award-winning poison ivy. And it grows up this tree, and I kill it every year, and it comes back every year, okay? And it loves the tree, and the tree is not bothered by it. They get along great, okay? Just like my friend I was telling you about. He needs me, I need him. There's just some things about our relationship, I don't go there anymore. Very disappointing to my friend, okay? So, in the scripture, there's a young king. Check it out. This is awesome. And he made the right friendship. It was in the 17th year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign. And in the 40th year, reigned he in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash, good guy, did that which was right. Now, I got to tell you, he was young. I think he was like maybe... older guy. And it was so neat because the older guy spoke into his life. It's very, very cool. And the scripture, I won't read it to you because you get bored when people read. It says here that he wonderfully repaired the house of the Lord. He did all these really good things because his older mentored him. Okay? Very cool. And it ends this way. It says that this king did well all the days of his life as long as Jehoiada the priest lived. But once Jehoiada died, the young king went in the wrong direction. And so that's like a codependency kind of a relationship. That you only do well if you're friends with a certain people. And that's a problem in our lives as well. What I want to look at now is purposeful. This is really important. This is the most important part of today. Because you need to have friends. You need to be influencing other people. You need to be guarding yourself at the same time. So the key word for friendship is really purposeful. What is the purpose of your friendships? What are those purposes? Jesus prayed all night. In the morning he woke up and he picked out his 12 disciples. And he didn't pick people that looked like they were the promising ones all the time. You know, I am so glad. My classroom is, my door is right outside the senior lockers. And you know, you can behave any way you want in class. You can fool the teachers. You can go, oh, yeah. Oh, sorry. You know, and you can just like, when they're talking, just look like, oh, every word is like a drop of love and wisdom from heaven. You know, you can fake it. But in the hallway, nobody fakes it unless they see the teacher. But I love making friends with the bad kids. Because the bad kids are fun. That sounds so wrong. But the bad kids sometimes in school ask tough questions that are embarrassing. Why does it matter what color my shoelaces are? I gotta agree. Why does it matter how long my hair is? On a certain level, I have to agree. But I also have to point to Corinthians and say, they kind of had a dress code in Corinth because like long hair meant something. And so if your hair is too long, or even if it's too short, it might mean something. And if it doesn't mean that to you, it might mean it to other people. And thereby you'll give off a wrong message. So I like hanging around with these people that, and you know what? They've been won. This year has been a record year. These kids have come, they're bad in other class. They come in my class and they are connected. And I'll tell you why. One reason. They know that I love them. And it's not me, it's Jesus who loves them. And when they feel that love of God, they listen with a curiosity. It's really, really cool. This guy named Miroslav Volf noted that the tendency to exclude the other
which religious leaders in Jesus' day often regarded as great virtue, was regarded by Jesus as great sin. This often surprised the disciples. While walking through Samaria one day, the disciples said to Jesus, "Should we call down fire?" Because it was us and them. And Jesus was so against that in every way. Really, really cool. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." And it was the other side of this lake. And on the other side were the seven nations of the Canaanites. God's people never associated with them. Jesus did. Jesus had sinners as his friends. He said, "You'll always have the poor with you, the outcasts with you." It's why? Why would you always have them with you? Nobody's going to take care of you. No. You will always have them with you because they sent your love and your open gate to your garden to love them. It's really that way. All right? So it's just interesting to see this. You know, and on that side, there was no great big party that came to meet Jesus. It was one demoniac and some pig farmer. And that demoniac was full of demons, and obviously Jesus cast them into the swine. And he told the demoniac, "Go back to the town." The guy went back to town, told everybody. Everybody from town, it's on the wrong side of the tracks, a river, lake, came back and they asked Jesus to leave. The next time Jesus returned there, it was amazing. The crowds came and welcomed him because Jesus was a friend of a demoniac. So the moral of the story is, find a demoniac to be your friend and cast his demons out. Is that so far-fetched? It really isn't, is it? Do you know some bad kids at school? This is like a yes or no, okay? It's not even multiple choice. Help me out here. Do you know some kids at school that get in a lot of trouble?
Multiple choice, actually, because there's two choices.
Oh, really?
It's yes and no, because that's multiple choice. Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, you're not very much help today. So you do know some kid at school who gets in more trouble than anybody else, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Do you think you could really be his friend?
Yeah.
Would you get in trouble with him?
No.
Are you sure? Yeah. We're in church. I know that's the right answer.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So here's the deal. This is really the bottom line. If Jesus did it, and he said you're going to do greater things, I'm not talking theory here. I'm talking reality. We are supposed to have the power to influence darkness. My parents said, don't make the wrong friends. People that look like the wrong friends. Jesus says, greater is he who's in you than all those demons that are in that crazy guy at the cemetery. See what I'm saying? There's some people that we should be friends toward to bring them out of it if you're walking in the power that God has said we're supposed to have. Okay? Pretty exciting stuff. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, who knew something about enemies? Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew something about enemies, and he wrote, Jesus Christ lived in the midst of his enemies. At the end, all of his disciples deserted him. On the cross, he was utterly surrounded by evildoers and mockers. For this cause, he had come to bring peace to the enemies of God. So the Christians, too, belong not in seclusion of a cloistered life, but in the thick of foes. This is his commission, his work. And there's other readings here by Martin Luther that I could give you today. But the point is this, as a church, and I'm going to be really frank with you today. Two Saturdays ago, I think it was, a visitor came on a Saturday night. I'll do an imitation. He walked in, kind of a little nervous, and he looked around. And he stood in one spot like this for a little bit and just kind of looked around, you know. You scratch something that doesn't itch just because you know you want to do it. And there were groups, and this is not your fault. This is just how we are. Social magnetism. There was a group over here, large group. There was another group over there. There were a few people over here. Nobody went up to them. Now, I get it. If you got visitors every week, it'd be like, visitor alert. Let's get them, okay? Let's put on our friendliness. But sometimes our naturalness takes over and we can easily ignore people that are there that we need to reach out to, all right? Jonathan and David were great, great friends. He laid his life down. So here's my, you know, he gave up. Jonathan gave up the throne in his mind because he knew that God had anointed David. That's a huge sacrifice. No greater love does anybody have than to lay down his life for his friend. All right? So it's powerful. So today we've looked at the negative influences. Stay away. We've looked at the positive connections that God brings in our lives, like our little Incredibox buddies. They get together and they just, they're doing their thing. They got it going on. It's sweet, okay? And now we're looking at purposeful friendships. And the purpose behind our friendships is to build the body of Christ. So in the end, this is what I want you to have. You still have that 3x5 card. You wrote what you thought was the most important aspect of friendships. And now I want you to write what you now think is the most important aspect of friendship as we conclude. My conclusion is this. Be alert. Be alert. Who does God want you to connect with? So the kingdom can move forward. So that you can move forward. That means something to you, you can write it down. Be circumspect. That means look around. How does this new friendship fit into my life? Okay? How does this work? I mean, Brady and I are friends. On my way here today, I wished I was Brady. I was thinking, it's like, because, you know, when I leave here, I got to drive all the way 12 volts. Oh, I don't even know where that is. You know, last night I didn't get home till like really, really late. And I had 4 pictures I had to frame for this last minute customer. Tomorrow morning, I get up at like 4:30. I'm flying to South Carolina. And this is just like nuts. And I thought, when things go nuts, Brady just keeps walking along, doing what he's supposed to do. And I'm like, should I drink coffee? Is it going to help? Decaf. You know, I'm like crazy, you know? So when I am a friend with Brady, I say, Brady, I want some of that. I want that, okay? Check it out. What is this? That's the wrong thing. What is this? That's the wrong thing. Let me find something here for you. This is so cool. This is so cool. This is great. This is terrible. I can't find it. Wait a minute. Aha, here it is. Okay, remember last week? Huh? What did I have sticking out of the ceiling? What? A tube. What was the tube symbolizing? An umbilical cord, because I was a baby. Guess what? I'm all grown up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know your computer? You know how you have to download updates? Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, here it is. God wants to update my operating system by giving me his insights for friends. So just like that day, you know, when that guy came up to me and I was repairing a sign, God downloaded an update. And this is really what it's all about. It's like a relationship continually with the Lord so that we know in the moment, it's walking in the Spirit, we know what we're supposed to be doing. All right? So it's about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Have friends that God loves. Have friends who are people that do not love God. Maybe you're the only little piece of God they're going to see, and when they start to like you, they'll start to love your God as well. All right? Love people who don't know any better. My friend who's just a part. He's not going on to get more of God. I can't talk to him about it. I have to demonstrate it, okay? Have friends that are in high places, like my dad said. Make friends with people that know more than you do about something. You know? You can receive from them, and you can give to them as well. Have friends that are in low places. You know, I love the nerds, the dweebs, the awkward kids, the socially, you know, weird ones that don't just quite fit in. They're so more open. You can pour into those people. It's fun because they're already open. The kids that are really cool, they're fun because they're already cool and they're closed off, and then you got to find out how to get them open to the Lord. It's so much fun. Very, very good. So the only way, okay, to be like Jesus and to have friends of all these sort of people, all right, is simply this, to stay connected, like my little silly USB connection. You know, get your updates. Get your updates. See, Jesus said this, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and this is really the key, and it's all about that cord, you know, it's all about this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with Him, and truly our fellowship with everybody else just comes into place. So the real key is very simple. To maintain our fellowship with the Lord. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. Guess what? When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were such good friends with God that they were going to pray and they would not bow down to any other god, like we read in Deuteronomy, they refused. Who walked with them in that furnace that day? Who was it? So when you're walking in right relationship with God and you're going through maybe a trial, those guys were so happy because they had downloaded the latest update. The king's furnace is hot, but my God is a consuming fire. It can't touch me because my fire will burn your fire any day of the week. The devil only has fiery darts. My God is the all-consuming fire. And when you get your updates, you're hot for God. And when you go through, and when you're with others, just like a little beatboxes, man, the whole fire just becomes greater and stronger. It's like one twig all by itself, and the bonfire is going to go out. But when it gets with its other twigs, and they're hot, the fire burns hot. And those guys in that fiery furnace walked with Jesus. And a heathen king to whom they were befriending made much of that. And in the end declared that their God was a true and living God. So I just have to guess this morning that since God has been so friendly and gracious to every one of us, that you're going to want your update. You're going to want a transformed mind that will cause you to be like Jesus, a friend to anybody. An open gate to anybody who wants to come in. And I got to tell you, Jesus' gates closed as well. He said He did not commit Himself fully to anybody because He knew what was in the heart of man. It said that when certain people were coming, He passed through the crowd to get away. And there's a third part to this, and that is the value of loneliness. Another whole topic. So guys, I don't know, do we have, is Chris Tomlin coming back for a closing song? Oh, Casting Crowns are with us this morning. All right. So let's do Casting Crowns.